morning, dear colleagues. Desejo que se encontrem todos bem e é um
hope you are all feeling well and it's a great pleasure to be with you once again. We will immediately start our meeting, which follows on from what we had agreed previously. Try and listen to each other and try and find a common position as regards the topics relating to the Conference on the Future of Europe. You all have the information of the last meeting of the Council. Three items were discussed: the platform, the rules of the Executive Board, and the third proposal, which wasn't really a proposal from the presidency of the Executive Board, but a proposal from the representative of the European Parliament. Long discussion, and we didn't reach consensus between the three institutions, and the Council had some reservations. The objective of today's meeting is to listen the opinion and the feelings of the national parliaments so that we can, the Troika, Portuguese, Slovenian and German parliaments, can gather information which will allow us to decide on topics which have reached consensus or be the spokespersons for the different parliaments. Without further ado, I will ask my colleagues in the Troika from the Slovenian Parliament and the German Parliament, Marko Bojan Kekis, Gunter Kirschbaum, or Guido Wolf, to add on to what I've just told you. And after that, we will hand over the floor to all those who have requested to do so.
Caros colegas da Troika, algum...
So I will hand over the floor to the colleagues from the Troika. Would anybody like to add anything to my initial presentation?
Ok.
Senhora, pediu a palavra o Bundestag, que hoje é representado pelo colega Marco Stones. Não tenho o prazer de conhecer, mas...
Marco Stones, I don't know you. I don't have the pleasure of knowing you, but it's with great pleasure that I hand over the floor to you.
Auch nochmal an... Ich möchte mich auch...
I would like to express my gratitude to the Portuguese Presidency for the untiring commitment in the establishment of the Troika proposal. In the current times, it is anything but easy to stay in contact, but we're using all of the technical possibilities that we have. What's not included in this proposal is one important aspect which my colleague, Mr. Kirschbaum, presented in the meeting of the Executive Board on April 7th, namely the participation of the parliaments and governments of the candidate states of the Western Balkans. I'd like to point out Article 8 of the proposal on the rules of proposal by Guy Verhofstadt.
Really, there's no English events interpretation from Germany, so we'll try and give you some feedback of what's happening.
With the participation of citizens, civic organizations,
via the Portuguese channel.
Actors. We believe it would be a difficult signal from the side of the European Union with a
it will be
view
difficult
to
for the
EU democratization process in the states of the Western Balkans if the democratically
and the negotiation.
Legitimated institutions of these states wouldn't participate in this future conference or
for participation in this conference on the future
to
of Europe
as guests. Who, if not us, as representatives of the national parliaments of the EU member states, would be the ones to advocate this action. Parliamentarians from the Western Balkans have been observers in COSAC and as such make valuable contributions, I believe. So I'd like to advocate for the possibility of inviting representatives of the parliaments and governments of the states of the Western Balkans and to enshrine this in the rules of procedure. And a respective invitation should then be decided upon by the executive board of the conference. And I'd like to add one more aspect to my remarks, which we considered to be important. The establishment of working groups or committees on the issues. We all know from our national parliament that in the committees, the actual parliamentary work is happening. This is where the tasks and issues are discussed, where solutions are found and decisions prepared. And for this reason, the changes and proposals on Article 20, paragraph 3 are important. In the working groups or committees, the national parliamentarians play their original role. This is where we can introduce our expertise. And to come to a close, I'd like to underline that it is our self-understanding in the German Bundestag that the national parliaments, in addition and on a level playing field with all of the other pillars, participate in the establishment of the future conference, including the establishment of committees, and cannot be outvoted as stipulated in Article 20. Within COSAC, we should agree that the number of parliamentarians from the national parliaments, namely 108, is a tough issue for us, but we stick to it to guarantee representation. So thank you very much for the organization of this COSAC meeting and all the best wishes to Portugal and to the Portuguese presidency.
Muito obrigado, Mark, pela tua intervenção e pelas tuas...
Thank you, Mark, for your kind words and for your presentation. Now, colleagues from the Slovenian Parliament, do you want to take the floor? No? In that case, I will start our internal debate, handing over the floor to Reinhold Lobakta from Austria. Reinhold, you have the floor.
Komm schnell her, wie geht das? Mein Mikro, wie kann ich mein Mikro einschalten?
Wir können...
Please, you have the floor.
Do you hear me?
Very well.
Oh, okay, yeah. I had a problem with the micro. My question is, you know, now we know that the European Parliament is supporting us, that also members of national parliaments have the chance to participate. But my question is, do you have more information that, for example, representatives of the council are against it? How is the situation? For us, it's very important to know how many members at the end of the procedure we will have, because we want to start on the national level with our work. And therefore, for us, it's very important to know how many members at the end of the day, really, we will have from our parliament. As you know, we have two chambers, and so it's not easy to integrate both chambers and the opposition in this work. What do you think? When we will know really how the procedure will be and how many parliamentarians from each of the member parliaments can participate. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Reinhold.
Thank you, Reinhold. Now, I will hand over the floor to Sabine Tillay from the French National Assembly, and a warm welcome.
Si. Cher Louis, cher collègue.
Dear Louise, dear colleagues, thank you very much for continuing to keep us informed. I have a reference to colleague Reinhold's question. So at what moment will the members of the National Parliament participating in the plenary, in this case in particular, the COSAC is also something which we are addressing. We are always and still concerned. And my question also goes to, and as a French person, Jean-François Rapin, we will be getting together at the executive committee as of July and also get together during the plenary. And I'd like to come back on the suggestion I made earlier, or the last time, my proposal in actual fact to debate within the scope of COSAC that the national parliaments should be alive and should be active in this topic on the conference of the future of Europe. At the COSAC and in our national parliament, we have already got together in March with several European commissioners, parliamentaries, responsible for certain areas. So, dear Louise, I'd like to know whether Troika can prepare a short questionnaire to ask all what are the initiatives that they intend to put forth within the scope of the conference on the future of Europe. I think this could be extremely useful for all of us, so that as COSAC, we can look at common interests and so that we can go ahead with this in this sense. Thank you very much.
Vamos continuar com o Parlamento francês.
Thank you, Sabine. I will now hand over the floor to Jean-François Rapin.
Oui, bonjour, Louis. Bonjour.
Good morning, Louis. Good morning to all. Thank you very much. I'd like to especially greet Sabine, because her conclusion is in actual fact what I wanted to make reference to. The program becomes heavier by the day. And concerning the proposals made and the amendments which were proposed, I haven't a great deal to add to this. I'm generally in agreement with everything, but I'd also like to come back, as all colleagues, to insist once again very firmly on the fact that we should have the proper representation. The Austrian colleague asked for some clarification on the council. I'd like to ask why the Commission has been as discreet as it has. There has been very little said on the matter, and I'd like to know what its opinion is. I also think that it's equally important when we talk about national parliaments, to be able to be a part of the working group and participate in the plenary as well. In May, we will see the launch in Strasbourg of the conference on the future of Europe. I think this is important. Strasbourg is a very important stronghold in Europe, and it's going to be very interesting to see the national parliaments associated with this event. Thank you very much.
Jean-François.
Thank you, Jean-François. Before I hand over the floor to the next colleague, and to avoid possible repeated questions, let me explain the following. The following meeting of the Executive Board will be held on 22 April. By the end of the day, proposals can be sent to the executive board, so all parliaments who wish to do so can do that today till end of business. The executive board will meet on the 22nd of this month with a proposal presented, and this time I hope with the agreement of the Commission, the Parliament and the Council. And it's based on that proposal that we will decide on the 22nd of April. Hence the importance of listening to your views today so that we can still have a role in that meeting. Before that, we will have the public presentation of the e-platform on the 19th of April, and that platform will be the basis for participation. I've already had the opportunity of having a look at this platform. It's not finished yet, but it seems like it's solid and a good tool will satisfy many of your queries. On the other hand, many national parliaments and civil society in each member state can organize other types of events. All they need is imagination, and Sabine noted well that we should collect information from all member states to find out what we propose to do in each of our member states. So for now, these small clarifications which I wanted to share with you, and I will hand over the floor to Domagoj Anđuković from the Croatian Parliament, to whom I welcome. No connection is possible, so I will hand over the floor to Richard Orcik from the National Assembly of Hungary.
Mr. Chairman, dear Louis, dear colleagues, I'm very pleased for this regular dialogue concerning the conference on the future of Europe. I also support that the national parliaments and the European Parliament should be represented on equal footing. In the Hungarian National Assembly, we have also started the necessary preparation. As far as the composition of the conference is concerned, I wish to underline the role of the candidate countries. The European perspective of Western Balkans countries should be recognized on this level. That's why I totally support what did Günther Kirschbaum, my German colleague, said and suggested. We national parliaments play, I think, an indispensable role in strengthening Europe's democratic traditions and channeling and representing the interest, of course, of the European citizens. And the conference should provide, may I say, adequate platform for the citizens to express their often diverging views and proposals on all pressing common issues. I do believe, Mr. Chairman, that the necessary lessons from the COVID crisis should also be drawn during the one-year conference. Hungary considers vaccination as the only viable method against the virus. As of today, more than 30% of Hungarian's population has been vaccinated. I'm really happy to report you. And I think their common duty is to campaign for vaccines, also on European level. I wish good luck for the Portuguese presidency to continue this remarkable job. Thank you very much, Louis.
Obrigado, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Now, I will hand over the floor to the colleague Dario Stefano. Dario has asked to speak later, so In that case, I will hand over the floor to the colleague Sergio Battelli from the Italian Parliament.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can you hear me? Can you hear the interpretation? Very good, thank you. First of all, thank you very much. Sharing the flow of information now is key with a view to the importance of the adoption of important decisions of the Executive Board. As I said last time, I believe that among the amendments proposed by the Troika, great importance must be given to the fact that European parliaments and national parliaments must be represented in equal footing, both in the plenary and in committees. Regarding the number, I believe that the number of four members for each national parliament is the minimum threshold, and that we should ensure also the designation of substitutes. I agree with the amendment to Article 19 on the composition of delegations and considering the autonomy, the independence of Parliament, and bearing in mind the bicameral structure of some of these parliaments, and also agree on the amendments to Article 20 on the significant number and the creation of committees and working groups. And I also share the need underlined by the Troika that Article 20, Item 4, should be clarified. The language there should be clearer because the article makes reference to the four pillars of the conference without specifying how this agreement should be reached. Now, regarding the definition of the draft agenda for the plenary, that should be defined by the Executive Board. I believe the Troika should be more active in that respect because this is a decision about the agenda of the issues that will be discussed in meetings. And I also share the amendment on the need to have the final draft of the agenda at least 2 weeks before the start of each session. Then I believe that full language regime in all 24 languages should be ensured. I agree very much on that. And I believe that this clause and this requirement should be applied both to interpretation during the plenary and committee and working groups, and also the translation of documents in all 24 languages of the Union. Now I have two final questions. Do you think the Executive Board will finally adopt the regulation, the rules, and when will the plenary be convened? Because I heard there are rumours that the first meeting will be held in the first half of June. So is that correct? Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Muito obrigado, Dario.
Thank you, Dario. Now I will hand over the floor. We will answer your questions shortly, as soon as we've gone down the list of speakers. Now, Gia Omenhuyten from the Netherlands. You have the floor here. It's a pleasure to have you with us once again.
For me too. I would like to support your efforts to properly involve the national parliaments in the conference. If I see it well, then with 108 members of parliament, then you cover four per parliament, but not the four where we have a bicameral system. So please, could you tell us a bit more on that? Then, for the rest, I absolutely agree to your proposal for amendments. I'm lucky with it. And I would like to take up the proposal of my German colleagues to introduce the Western Balkans as a guest in the conference. We always did so, and I think that also in this proposal for the future of Europe, we should also do it. Then on the working groups, I would like to ask for an equal footing of national parliaments and members of the national parliament and the members of the European Parliament.
And that is not only on activities, but also on sharing, doing proposals, membership, etc. So if you could reach that goal, we would absolutely be satisfied in the Netherlands. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Ria.
Thank you, Ria. Let me just explain the following. As regards the issue raised by when will decisions be taken, we expect that these decisions will be taken on the 22nd of April. As regards the plenary session, it shouldn't take place 1 month after we've approved all the rules, at least 1 month. So if we approve everything on the 22nd of April, probably end of May, beginning of June, we can hold the plenary session. As regards the two chambers, we have defended this position. We believe that parliaments that have two chambers are treated on an equal footing with other parliaments. Each country will have the same number of members, and if they have two chambers, it will be divided between those two chambers. As regards the issue on the Western Balkans, let me remind you that the rules put forward already foresees the participation of candidate countries. Let me underline that. Candidate countries, all, not only from the Western Balkans. For that reason, I think we should think this better. When we include a proposal referring only to the Western Balkans, excluding other candidate countries like Turkey, for example, that could raise a diplomatic issue, a sensitive issue. That is the reason why I believe that the proposal from Verhofstadt is correct. So which candidate countries, and I repeat, the proposal was that that representation should be at government and parliament level. So include some candidate countries and exclude others, I don't think it's wise. So we have to think about that before the end of this meeting. Another question which was raised. Why aren't the Council and the Commission in agreement? The representatives of the Commission and the Council in the last meeting said they were in disagreement, but they didn't give the reasons why they were not in agreement. I understood that it was a question of imbalance in terms of representation, because in a plenary where we will have 273 members, 216 would be representatives from parliaments. Obviously, the nature of each institution has a different makeup in terms of numbers. The Commission doesn't have the same number of members as European Parliament or the Council. But I think the main reason was this enormous imbalance between the number of members which represents each institution. So I fear that there might be some pressure from the Council and the Commission to reduce the parliamentary representatives. Obviously, we should fight this and we should defend the number that was presented by Verhofstadt, our colleague, because I think that is a balance, the minimum balance number, suitable to have government and opposition and to have a minimum representation from all parliaments. Please bear with me for having taken so long, and I will hand over the floor from the Danish parliament. And the interpreter missed the name. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. much, Mr. Santos, and thank you to the Troika for this great work you have been doing, and also for this meeting here today. I have one concern with one of the amendments to Article 19 about the composition of the delegations. Because I think it isn't also in political unions. So with it being solely up to the each parliament to name the
particular. Deixamos de ouvir-te.
Asmus, we can't hear you.
Portanto, a comunicação caiu. Voltaremos mais tarde a dar a palavra ao...
We've lost your connection. We'll hand over the floor to Rasmus later. So Guido Wolf now from the Bundesrat in Germany, who I forward a special welcome.
Ja, lieber Luis, liebe...
Dear Luis, dear colleagues, thank you very much, Luis, for your willingness to always coordinate within the Troika. After the many talks that we've already had, I see a structural problem ever more clearly, namely the question of leadership in this conference on the future of Europe. We discussed that a representation of the national parliaments consisting of 108 members is what we are striving for. This is what was also included in Verhofstadt's proposal. But we hear from trusted sources that the Commission, for example, believes that 108 is too high a number. I also heard that there are discussions to reduce this to 50%, i.e. 54 representatives. I believe this would be a terrible reduction that would gravely reduce the representation of the national parliaments, which very often are made up of two chambers. So I'd like to ask you, Luis, I believe, have to try to include and bring together these different positions, European Parliament, Commission, and Council. We have to break up these different opinions because we need clarity. If the conference is launched in May, we need the time to fill the positions that we are given, names. And that's going to require some time. Let me remind you of the problem of the bicameral system, where we believe that both chambers should be represented on equal footing. So this is, I believe, one of the big problems. So I think we agree, but nonetheless, this is the big challenge for us. And I would like to ask you, Luis, to both support and to communicate this to the Commission and the Parliament.
Continuaremos a fazê-lo. Aliás, eu...
Thank you, Guido. We will continue to do so. And at the end of this meeting, we will resend the letter which we sent to the four institutions, where those issues are very clearly mirrored. And we will fight, and you will be present in the last meeting and the following meeting of the Executive Board on the 22nd of April, so that our views can be taken on board. Now, I'll hand over the floor to Joe McCarthy from the Irish Parliament.
Thank you. And thanks for my new title, McCarthy. It's McHugh Chairman, but anyway, we'll not delay on that. Look, I don't have any questions, Chairman. I just want to make two points. I want to acknowledge you and your team and the Troika for all their work and deliberations. We actually did a report through my committee, and there were two very strong foci coming out from that committee. Number one was that my committee members wanted made a strong pitch for parliamentary engagement And that's very obvious throughout the document that, that is going to happen. So we're grateful for that. And secondly, I had my own personal ambition to ensure that young people had a voice. And when you read Article 6 from the Rules of Procedure, one third of each citizens panel aged between will be between the ages of 16 and 25. I think that is a very, very strong representation. And when you consider eight representatives of each of the European citizens panels, from which at least three will be under 25, I think that is a very, very strong focus. I'm really, really grateful that that is happening. And when you consider young people have been to the forefront of climate change, that's incredible. Lastly, and I'll finish now, the Troika have added education and migration as well. Really, really important. Well done on that. So it's all good to hear from Donegal in Ireland. The sun's shining, the future's bright, and hopefully the conference on the future of Europe will be bright also. Gurmila Maigab, thank you.
Muito obrigado, Joey, e peço desculpa pela má...
Thank you. Sorry for having mispronounced. I think Joe was right at least. Now, Susana Sumelzu from the Spanish Parliament.
Very good morning. I am listening to your interventions. And we thank you, Luis, for all the information you have conveyed from the Portuguese presidency to prepare this meeting. So we have solved several doubts that we have. In Spain, we have a bicameral parliament, but the Committee on European Affairs is a joint committee, that is Senate-Congress committee. Therefore, there should be no problems in that regard. We also have a sub-reporting committee on the Conference on the Future of Europe within the Joint Committee for European Affairs. And we have some doubts on how we shall designate the members of parliament that shall represent the national parliament in the Conference on the Future of Europe. We would like to know also, or we would like that the chairs of the COSAC have the chance to take part in the formal inauguration of the Conference on the Future of Europe if we are appointed as members of this conference. So thank you very much for all the information you have conveyed. We still have to know how to integrate the web on the Conference on the Future of Europe in the web of the National Parliament. The Bureau of the Chamber has to approve this, and we should prepare this as regards the technical matters. So the Parliament maybe should get in touch to prepare this.
Obrigado, Susana. Tomei a devida nota.
Thank you for Susana. Note taken. We can now hand the floor back to Rasmus from the Danish Parliament. I think we have a connection now. Rasmus, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. And yes, I'm sorry about the connection. This surely underlined the need of a digital Europe. So thank you again, Mr. Santos. Now, my concern was with the amendments to Article 19. About the appointments of the members of Parliament to this, because I think it's important with diversity in this Conference of Europe, also diversity in political beliefs and so forth. So how do we ensure that oppositions in the various countries are represented if we write this out of the rules? So it's a question and a concern to the Troika, and thank you very much again for handing me back the floor and for your great work. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Rasmus.
Thank you very much, Rasmus. I believe the colleague Dario Stefano from the Italian Parliament is now ready to intervene. If that's the case, then the floor is yours, Dario.
Good morning. Well, first of all, thank you. Because you are making it possible for us to share a working system that gives us a chance to make our proposals. We're now discussing the amendments to the draft regulation of the conference. And I must say I agree on most of them. I will just dwell on a couple. The first amendment on the representation of national parliaments within the conference as foreseen under Article 19. Again, it is important that the representation of the national parliament is appropriate. And this is especially important for bicameral parliaments, like the Italian parliament, but there are many others in Europe. And that's why I believe that the amendment proposed by the Troika of four members for each national parliament, accompanied by four substitute members with the same authority and power, that proposal is a very good one. The European Convention had a similar rule, whatever we may think about the Convention and this Conference on the Future of Europe, that, I believe, sets a precedent. At that time, the members of the European Parliament were more or less 50% of the members of national parliaments, and I think that that is a precedent, and we must and surely the European Parliament is well represented in this conference, and it would be well represented even if they had fewer members. And then it is important that the outcome of the conference must be preceded by a debate in the plenary, as laid down in Article 28. I agree on that. And then one final issue. Today we have started a fact-finding survey within the Italian Parliament on the Conference on the Future of Europe. We shall first hear from a number of social parties. We'll hear their proposals and we shall share those proposals with you. Now, it is important that COSAC is a proactive member in the debate on the future of Europe. And in order to be proactive, we must listen to the bodies outside parliaments. I mean, the social partners, the stakeholders, and the representatives of the young people. Because with the Next Generation EU program, we have started to look at the new generations, and if that process is to go on, we must hear the young people, we must listen to them, and we must realize that what their proposals for the future of Europe are. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Hello, Portugal. Hello, Luis.
Olá, Domagoj.
Finally, we see each other, and I do apologize because we are debating a national plan on resilience and recovery in the plenary. I just wished briefly to welcome this way of working our meetings before each meeting of the executive board. I think it is very important to keep us informed, but also it is very inclusive from your side, and for that I wish to congratulate and thank you. Also, I do agree with the colleague before that it is important also to keep our friends from the candidate countries included, and I do include here not only the countries from the Western Balkans who are candidates, but also Turkey, who we somehow tend to forget that Turkey also has a status on the candidate country. And finally, I wish to add my support to the voice of the colleagues before me who supported representation of the national parliaments on equal footing. I think it is also extremely vital to insist on that, because we very often hear that only European Parliament has the legitimacy to represent European peoples In the European Union, which is of course not true, and national parliaments are also representatives of the people, and as such should be given an equal footing. Thank you very much, and greetings from Cloud Zagreb.
Obrigado, Domagoj. Foi prazer rever.
Thank you very much, Domagoj. It was a pleasure to see you. I'd now like to pass the floor to the colleague Iter Beck from Slovakia.
Não estamos a conseguir estabelecer contacto com...
Fortunately, we are not able to establish contact with Slovakia. I will pass the floor to the next colleague and we'll try and resume later on. So, colega Marko Togašnik from Slovenia.
Luis, bom dia. Dear
bon
colleague, good morning from Ljubljana. For Slovenia, it's very important as the national parliaments are included in the process. We added one amendment proposal to the rules of procedure of the Conference of the Future of Europe, Amendment 1.2 to Article 19. The parliaments shall have the sole power to decide of the composition of their delegation. In case of bicameral parliaments, the composition of the delegation of the parliaments shall reflect that respective parliamentary structure of each member state, replacement in case of a sense of serious grounds of impossible. Alternate members shall be designated in the same way of the full members. Due to the different structure of the national parliaments, it is not always possible to follow the universal guidelines. Therefore, this different structure needs to be taken into account. And finally, we support the German proposal about the candidate countries and the Western Balkans. Thank you. And...
Muito obrigado, Marcos.
Thank you very much, Marcos. I would now pass the floor to Markus Tons from Bundestag.
Ja, vielen Dank auch noch.
Thank you very much also for granting me the floor again. Let me comment on two points, just to reinforce this from our perspective as the German Bundestag. In the proposal by Guy de Verhofstadt, we only have mention of civil society when it comes to the candidate countries, and we very clearly see that the elected representatives, that is, parliaments, should also be involved, because this is very important to legitimize this process. Therefore, we believe this is a highly important point, so I would like to draw your attention to this fact one more time. And I would also like to advertise for the possibility that representatives from parliaments and governments in the Western Balkan states should also become part of the rules of procedure. And I believe the executive board should decide on individual invitations. So this means that there would be another option for decision there. And a last comment. We also believe that the size of the conference is a crucial point. Some of the previous speakers have already highlighted this. It is essential that we still have the number of 108 representatives, so that also parliaments with two chambers are represented accordingly. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Marcos.
Thank you very much, Marcos. We have a last request for the floor from Bogdan Klitsch from the Polish Parliament.
Parece que estamos com problemas de comunicação com a Polónia.
Seems as though we're having some communication problems with Poland. We have a pending request from Peter Kmek from the Slovak Parliament, and we're going to attempt to re-establish communication.
Peter, não temos som, mas não temos...
Fortunately, Peter, we cannot see you. Could you please turn on the video feed? If that's not possible, we can still hear you. Peter Kmek, can you hear us? No, it seems as though there is neither sound nor video feed. So let's try again Poland. Bogdan Klitsch.
Parece que continuamos com dificuldades, mas entretanto...
The difficulties seem to persist, but colleague Richard Horczyk from the Hungarian Parliament has requested to take the floor once again.
Again, Mr. Chairman, just one sentence I would like to say. According to the candidate country's invitation, I would suggest very much that the candidate countries should be invited as a case of the COSAC plenary. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Muito obrigado, Richard.
Thank you very much, Richard. Yet another request from Christian Buchmann from the Austrian Parliament. Christian, you have the floor.
Lieber Luis, geschätzte Kolleginnen.
Dear Luis, highly esteemed colleagues, from the perspective of the Austrian Federal Council, let me just make two reinforcing statements. First of all, I believe it is highly valuable that our colleagues from parliaments, but also from civil society of the Western Balkan countries, should be included in this process, especially if we want them to play a future role within the European Union. I believe it makes a lot of sense to include them early on. Let me also highlight the statements made by all previous speakers in relation to bicameral parliaments. Both parliamentary chambers should be represented adequately at this conference, and we believe this is very important for us over here in Austria. Thank you very much.
Christian.
Thank you very much, Christian. We are going to attempt one last time to contact Bogdan Klitsch from Poland and Peter Kmek from Slovakia. I'd like to ask our technical services whether it's possible.
Infelizmente, parece que não é possível.
Unfortunately, it seems that it's not going to be possible. So I'd like to ask these two colleagues, and I do apologize for this fact, that you may reach us in writing, addressing it to the Secretariat, so that we can take due note of your declarations and statements. Seeing as there are no other further requests to have the floor, and before I pass the floor over to the colleagues from the Troika in the event they intend to add to my information, I'd just like to remind you that all of those who intend to submit concrete proposals until the end of today should do so directly to the presidency of this conference. Concerning the debate, I was very happy to see and to hear that there is broad consensus, which goes in the same sense as our initial claims and statements, and which we will fight for. So these mean representation in the plenary with the equal number of representatives as that of the European Parliament, in a number never below four for each national parliament. We will also bring forward the proposal that candidate countries, and it seemed as though this was the result of many favorable opinions in this sense, that we should invite all the candidate countries to participate in the plenary of the conference. I'd also like to draw your attention to some additional information. During the last meeting, the meetings committee also protested strongly in relation to the short and small number of representatives allocated. They understand that regional parliaments and local governments should also have greater representation. And that is, in fact, the problem. Everyone believes they should have the broader representation possible, which poses a problem. Nevertheless, I would like to say that it's preferable we increase the number of plenary members instead of reducing the number of national parliament representatives. We know that in Europe there are parliaments with very large numbers of MPs, a lot greater than 273. So I don't see any reason whatsoever to limit the number of members of the in the plenary to 273. If there is a problem of sub-representation of the other components, then it's preferable to increase representation rather than reduce parliamentary representation, because four per parliament is, in my opinion, the minimum acceptable number. So, dear colleagues, I don't believe I have anything further to add, and I would like to thank you all for your contributions. This debate has been extremely useful. In the meantime, I've just been handed information that the colleague Bogdan Klich from the Polish Parliament is now able to communicate, and we will give him the opportunity. Bogdan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to express my, and not only my, views. I appreciate, on behalf of our committee and also on behalf of our experts surrounding our committee, those efforts that the Troika made during last days. This is a right moment and a good effort and good letter that should be sent to the executive board. We share all four items included into this letter, and
colleagues, unfortunately, once again, we have lost communication with our colleague Bogdan. Nevertheless, we were able to listen to some of his opinions, and we were able to hear that he is in agreement with all we've said, which is very positive. Dear colleagues, to conclude our meeting, I would just like to ask, before we finish, our two Troika colleagues from the German and Slovenian parliaments, whether they would like to add anything to this conclusion.
Interpreto o silêncio.
I interpret the silence? Oh, sorry. Bundestag has asked to have the floor. Markus, you have the floor.
Ja, vielen Dank nochmal.
Yes, thank you very much. We would like to add that today's discussion should be summarized as the Troika and then be made available to all COSAC members. And it should also be a signal to Guy Verhofstadt so that he sees the opinion of COSAC on these issues.
Thank you very much, Markus. That sounds like a very good suggestion, and we will proceed as you request.
Muito obrigado, portanto, que creio que...
Thank you very much. I think we can now close this meeting. I'd like to thank you all for your presence and for your active participation. And we will continue to share with you all of the information that we get. And whenever necessary, we will convene another meeting such as this. Thank you very much and have a very nice day and see you soon.